The protests die down in the Twin Cities, but ICE efforts do not, and now small-town Minnesota becomes ground zero for a nationwide debate. The Moorhead City Council has some lively debate about who should be the interim mayor and who should get to make that decision. And there's no debate when it comes to tariff-based inflation. You can look all you want, but you just won't find it. Good morning, my friend. Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Well, we had some sun. Where did it go? Like 30 seconds we had sun, and now clouds are moving in, but still a very nice morning. Balmy temps. My goodness, we're in the banana belt here all of a sudden. But it's not going to last very long. Be windy. I guess it's windy already today. It'll stay windy, and it'll get a lot colder starting later today. But let's take what we get while we get it. Got a busy show planned for you here today. Julie Fedorchuk will be with us in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to get her thoughts on what's going on Capitol Hill and some of her thoughts about what's happening back home, North Dakota, Minnesota, in the news quite a bit these days. North Dakota always with energy and economic things going on, oil prices and so forth. And then Minnesota, of course, just being right next door. And a lot of the things that happen in Minnesota, we think of them as state issues, or when it happens in Minneapolis, maybe something related to a certain city. But really what this is all about is your tax money and mine at a federal level being shipped to Minnesota and then going out the door. And whether that means you're just economic issues or whether that's immigration in some way, a lot of things happening in Minnesota really are federal issues that are just boiling down to a local level, and in the case of Minneapolis, a very local level. I did see this morning on Fox News Channel, on Fox Business, which is kind of my favorite Fox channel. They give me a lot of the news of the day, but they also work in a lot of economic stories, things about interest rates and stock market, things like that. I just happen to be very interested in those things. I follow them quite a bit for the job I have here, follow them for my family as well, and it's just kind of always interesting to know where the money is going. And like we always say, follow the money. And so I like to do that. But on Fox Business this morning, they showed video of somebody who I think was doing exactly what the pastor, Pastor Steve, at Hope Community Church, I told you this story yesterday, he was talking about radically loving your neighbor and trying not to make these stories political, but just looking at it how God probably looks at it. And he said, we need our job is to love people. Let the elected officials do what they do. Don't get in the way. Don't make their job harder. But our job on an individual level at the ground floor is just to love people. Can't argue with that. His logic is pretty sound. Well, today there's a video circulating, and it wasn't taken by an officer. It wasn't taken by the quote-unquote observer, the person, the passerby. It was taken by somebody else who was there filming something else for one of the news stations. And the video was a guy coming up to one of the officers and just saying, hey, would you mind if I prayed for you? And of course, the officer is skeptical, as you can understand, right? I mean, there's nobody there that is showing up. I shouldn't say nobody, but very, very, very few who are there not to stir up trouble. Everybody's got an ulterior motive. But this guy just prayed for him, and he said, just want to ask for protection, help heal our city. It was very wholesome, very pure, very wonderful. And just a reminder that within every powder keg situation, God's people are there. And I love that. So a good job to that gentleman. He's probably not listening to the show. Probably will never hear about this. But hopefully that clip goes viral, and a lot of people cheer that guy on. Hopefully they can figure out who it is. Hopefully that person gets a pat on the back. I don't know that he was doing it for that. I'm sure he wasn't. Probably was thinking nobody would notice, but it was very, very cool. So in the midst of everything, God is still on the throne, and his people are still doing the best they can. Infallible, imperfect people, just trying really hard. So there's a lot of bad in the world, we get that, but there's a lot of good too. And those things don't typically get a lot of coverage. So we're going to do our part here. All right, 9/11, let's get to it with the morning wire here as we are just 11 minutes past the hour, getting started with the information that you need to make sense of your day. We start with the almanac for this day. January 13th, 2026, in the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. January 13th, average high temp in Fargo, 18, average low 0, record high 48. Back in 1987, record low minus 37 in 1916. Sunrise this morning at 8:09, sunset at 5:03, wherever you are at across this great state of North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, or parts beyond. At least in our corner of the upper Midwest here, we're going to gain a minute 49 seconds of daylight today. How about that? Almost 2 minutes a day. We will take it. Markets are down this morning. Inflation data came in kind of a ho-hummer, and maybe people were looking for more inflammatory inflation, maybe, way to say it, to see if the markets would markets would go up. Well, it was kind of a yawner. Everything came in pretty consistent with where it's been, which I would argue is actually a good thing. But traders like it when the inflation news comes in hot because they think then the Fed will lower interest rates. Well, that inflation rate or inflation report, we'll tell you about it here in a minute. But nothing much happened there today. So Dow is off 360 this morning in early trading. S&P 500 down 18. The NASDAQ down 38 as well. Taking a look at crude oil prices today, this is an interesting story. Generally, crude oil prices bounce up when people think that the economy is going to move in a positive direction, and oil prices are bouncing up. Up $1.54 a barrel at $61.04 today. It's been, I don't know what, 5-6 weeks since we had $60 oil. Generally, this is that kind of balance that we like in North Dakota, where you keep reasonable prices at the pump, but also you have enough where the oil companies are going to stay invested and interested, and you keep the pumps running, which generates a lot of money for the state government. So oil prices, over $61 a barrel, WTI price this morning. Gold today, up $11 an ounce at $4,626. Silver up $3.36 at $88.45. Wow, silver like doubled in price in the last 3-4 months. Insane. Bitcoin today up as well, about $1,500, $92,472. Those of you who have been listening to the Steve Ahlstrom Show from the days when we did this in the afternoon, which wasn't all that long ago, know that I just bought some Bitcoin at right before Christmas. And I got it at 87,000. And I just feel like Bitcoin's too big to fail. There's too many people that are in it. The next generation, the youngins coming up behind us, this is what they talk about and think about. It's huge in the next generation. I just don't think it's going to die. And I think it's going to go much higher. So bought a little bit. I didn't buy a whole one. I'm that kind of walking around money. But kind of nice to see that jumping up a little bit. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas, $2.82 a gallon. That's up a cent from yesterday. North Dakota average price, $2.53. Minnesota, $2.65. South Dakota, $2.55. In the news today, a Moorhead Middle School student reports the form is under investigation by police after a social media post alluded to bringing a gun to school. We're seeing a lot more of this at Horizon Middle School. We're not seeing a lot of these stories at the high school, at least the ones that I'm seeing. Man, Horizon Middle School seems to be some sort of test tube over there for kids trying to figure out life and not always figuring it out the right way. So under investigation there. Lori Chavez de Reamer. We don't talk a lot about Lori, but she's the U.S. Secretary of Labor, a big position within the administration. Tells our newsroom she's visiting Fargo as part of her 50-state America at Work tour. Unknown who she's meeting it with when she's coming to town. And she's in North Dakota today. So you may see a bunch of security vehicles and all that going around town today. Despite the rumors, our newsroom reports J.D. Vance is not in Harwood. There were some protesters that came out to a protest yesterday, thinking that J.D. Vance was coming to town, but no truth to that. Valley News Live all over that one today. As we told you yesterday, the state of Minnesota and the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul have combined to sue the federal government and Homeland Security to stop the, quote, federal invasion of the Twin Cities by ICE officials. Keith Ellison announced the lawsuit yesterday. They are all trying to put an end to Operation Metro Surge, the Trump administration's deployment in Minnesota of immigration officials. First, we've seen of the new St. Paul mayor, Coley Herr, but yes, she's just like, I guess, everybody else down there as well. Meanwhile, ice activity reported on the increase across greater Minnesota from Rochester to Detroit Lakes. We told you about the Don Pablo's restaurant that closed a couple of locations there as well. So we're seeing more and more of that across the state of Minnesota. Probably more to come because Trump is sending, what, 1,000 more? Hundreds more anyway, officials, ICE officials to North Dakota. When we come back on the Steve Holshin Show, we'll keep it rolling. Story of the day next. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's the website for Vision, Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a car, they make it easy. I can tell you from firsthand experience, and I'm not the only one. I see a lot of those Vision, Ford, Lincoln license plate, whatever they call them, plate holders, placeholders, so you get your real plates, you know. See a lot of those in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. And I can see why. The selection they have is fantastic. And, man, that Lincoln brand, enjoying a renaissance. A lot of people drive in Lincolns. They have a lot of different sizes, different shapes, but they all look really cool. And the vehicles are just put together so dang well. Check them out, drivewithvision.com. That's the website, drivewithvision.com. They've also got good job opportunities in sales and in service. And if you're a service guy or gal, and you like turning a wrench, well, holy smokes, what they do down there. No weekends, full benefits, and you make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. Can't beat that there. A Vision Ford Lincoln, place to buy a great set of wheels, place to put your career in overdrive as well. Drivewithvision.com. That's drivewithvision.com. Quick note here before we get to our friend Chris Buckingham. I saw this note today, and I saw that, okay, we're doing Chris in the 10 o'clock hour. Got it. More drivers have $1,000 plus car loan payments than ever before. Did you know that one out of every five of new vehicles financed in the fourth quarter of this past year, according to Edmunds, the car website people, has a car payment of $1,000 or more a month? How about that? You can get, you know, the 6-7 year loans now, but it doesn't seem to matter. The I guess the prices of the cars are still going up. Maybe people putting less money down, but isn't that interesting? Thought I would pass that along since we're talking about cars here today. All right, story of the day. ICE agents are continuing their work around the state of Minnesota, and this is what Americans voted for, and that issue polled very well from Democrats, Republicans, well, not the Democrats, but independents and Republicans for sure. But I told you this was back, I guess, last summer before the election. I said as President Trump was gaining steam, it looked like he was at a better and better chance to win the election. I said, mark my words. Everybody says they want illegal immigration enforcement, but very few people really do because the media is going to jump in. They're going to show the stories of, well, this guy has been here. He's been a peaceful guy and he's been supporting his family, and now they're going to rip away his health care and rip away him from, you know, they like to use the word rip away. And I said, the American people will not have a stomach for it, and you will see that tide turn. Hasn't happened as much as I thought it might, but we're still kind of in the first few weeks of it getting super real, at least in Minnesota. Let's not forget, though, the ugly side of illegal immigration and why we have rules on this. And there's a story today, there's actually a couple of them in the forum today, where they are talking about what's happening across Minnesota. And a story that was done by Kevin Wallivan, a good friend of mine from over there at WDAY-TV, he went down to Pelican Rapids, where there is a large immigrant population there, legal. They've been doing it there for a long time with the poultry plants and whatever, but he had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people, and in his words, he came away with a palpable fear in Pelican Rapids, a town known as a melting pot of different cultures. And Kevin talked about people yelling at authorities, and this note I saw as well, and this is why I put this in story of the day, because it's getting more and more in our backyard. We know that there was in Pelican Rapids, there was a scandal with the Twin Cities fraud of all this kind, feeding our future. A guy came from the cities and said he was feeding like 50,000 Pelican Rapids residents a day. Got all the money. Nobody ever asked what he's doing or whatever. So Pelican Rapids has been in the news a little bit, and it is again today. But the comments that really lit me up on this story and put it to the story of the day caliber was this. On Monday, some families kept their children from school. Others refused to leave their homes. Ivan Olson, who is, I guess, just a person around town who has taken an interest in this, said, quote, "The fear we feel as activists pales in comparison to what they feel. You could see it. You could feel it. All you were hoping for was you could find someone to help and feel safe. There is no town too small for this to happen." So I would ask these questions. If you're here legally, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid to gather, go to church? I mean, maybe you just don't want people looking at you, the harassment that they perceive as harassment. I guess I understand that. But the whole thing, like, everybody skips past the part about if you're here legally, you just show them your driver's license, your passport, whatever it is. And I know there are stories of like, well, that doesn't matter. Trump and his people there, the Gestapo there. There's almost none of that that has been documented. This is one of the things they like to say, but they never have evidence of all this. So why are you keeping your kids home from school? Why are you refusing to leave your home? Why are you refusing to go to church? I would think that this would be the best way to say to anybody watching, hey, I did it the right way. And if you're not willing to do that, it also makes you look guilty. So go out. If you're here legally, go. I really have a hard time believing that ICE officials are, just because you have black or brown skin, they're going to be arresting you. They might ask you questions. Look, it's fair to have questions asked at times like this. We get that. But to say, I don't want to go outside, I don't want to leave the house, to me it feels like there's fear being whipped up here externally, and people are listening to this, oh, we shouldn't go out. Go. Easier for me to say, right? I'm a pasty white guy, I understand. But if I'm wanting to act like I'm not guilty of anything, and I'm probably actually glad that people are cracking down on illegals coming here, taking my job or whatever, I'm going out. The ICE officials, thing that people don't want to talk much about, are also removing criminals that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody's criticizing immigration. Nobody's deporting Somalis for being Somali. This is illegal population here. Doesn't mean they're not human beings, but does mean that they broke the law. Being here is a privilege. If these people were looking for asylum, they wouldn't be here. They would have been at the nearest place where they could have been safe from where they live. Mexico is asylum. Mexico is safe. Maybe not perfect, but you're not coming here for asylum. You're coming here for a better life. That means you have to do it the right way, and you have to go about it through the right processes as well. So a couple thoughts on that here. I believe this is the story of the day, and you're going to see this now. Local media like the Forum and your local TV stations are going to be out looking for stories that elicit emotional responses. It's what they do. News in many cases, I'm not going to say necessarily always on the local level, but certainly national level news, it's all scripted drama anyway. So get ready. If you think you're sick of it already, you haven't seen anything yet. When we come back, the inflation story doesn't get better. It doesn't get worse, but it does bring some vindication. That when we come back, Steve Holcim Show. Phone line today, 701-271-1100, brought to you by Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. That's valleychristian.co. We had an email come into the studio line here a moment ago. And it comes from emailer Cheryl, said, Steve, I would ask you to ask Kevin why they, I think she's talking about Kevin Wallivan, why they are not covering both sides, and when will they start doing so? When are they going to start publishing all the things that these illegals are accused of, like rape and sodomy and murder? When are they going to start publicly posting all of the criminals that ICE has taken out? When are they going to start publicly posting all the children ICE has found through child trafficking? Or ICE has found. She must have done the old voice text there. It says all the children that ICE has found. ICE has found through child trafficking. Yeah, what was that number? We had it a couple of weeks ago. But it's a stunning number of children. Back to Cheryl's email. They seem to only be covering one biased side, and that's not good journalism. Fair question. I cannot speak for what WDAY-TV has done on this story altogether. I do spend more time on the forums website than I do watching news. It just doesn't work into my schedule to watch a lot of TV news. But I would say that's a fair question for the forum, because I don't believe I have seen many of those stories. I would guess that their response would be, well, this is the story today, and we can discuss what's the story tomorrow or what was the story yesterday, but today this is what the story is. And there's truth to that, but I think to Cheryl's point, you can't not cover the other parts of the story ever either and just get into one piece of it. So thank you, Cheryl, for that email. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the inflation number that came out today. The inflation story, through the numbers that we have today, isn't getting better. It's not getting worse, but it does bring some vindication, I think. And this goes back to April of last year, when the information came out that Donald Trump was doing all of these tariff programs, trying to rebalance world trade, and boy, this is going to blow inflation sky high. And I thought about that at first, and I said, yep, that could very well happen. And then I started listening to economists like Larry Kudlow, Art Laffer, Steve Moore, people like that, who I see a lot on Fox Business. They said, not so fast. Inflation is a measure of the consistent increase in the cost of goods and services. With tariffs, you could have a one-time adjustment if something, now there's a tax on it coming in, but that's not inflation. It's not adding to the pace of things getting more expensive month after month after month. The other points they made about this was that people only have a certain amount of money, and when your money is gone, you're not spending elsewhere. So let's say that I use the beach ball analogy a lot just because it's kind of silly, but it's kind of fun to think about beach balls in the middle of January. Let's say that you want to go to buy a beach ball at Walmart, and it used to be a dollar, now it's $1.50. And you have budgeted a dollar for your beach ball habit every year, and you go in January, it's like, oh man, $1.50, this thing has gone way up. I'm exaggerating to make a point. Probably didn't go up 50 cents, but you get the point. So, another 50 cents, a 50% increase in this item. Well, what are you going to do? Yes, the cost of that item is higher. Inflation in the beach ball world is 50%. But guess what? You don't have to buy it. Inflation doesn't measure that. It also means if you do decide to buy it, and you also like hula hoops, and every February you typically go buy a hula hoop, well, hula hoops, even if they didn't go up, you might not buy the hula hoop in February because you had to buy the beach ball in January. So altogether, it ends up balancing out, and people only have a certain amount of money. Some things on the shelf have higher numbers. We know that. But it doesn't seem like it's as much as it used to be. Certain things, I guess Canadian whiskey and steel, those are two I hear about quite a bit. But if people are skipping them and... or skipping other things, or if Walmart sees that your beach ball is $1.50 and they're selling a few of those but nothing else is selling, guess what they're going to do? They're going to mark prices down on hula hoops. And the hula hoop that was a dollar might now be only 75 cents, or if we're exaggerating, 50 cents. So they might have to decrease prices other ways. This is where economists get into trouble. And we have a number of them on our station and our program from time to time. I think they're wonderful people. I think they're smart people. But they kind of see life in a certain way from a certain angle, and they kind of box themselves in sometimes because their world is all theory. And if you do A, B is going to happen. But what economists don't often do, and maybe it's not even their job to do it, is say, okay, yeah, but what else could affect the equation that we're not talking about? That's kind of like the issue I had with public health during COVID. We need doctors. We need public health. Although maybe not as much as I thought we needed them, but hey, I'm not going to argue that we don't need doctors and public health, doctors especially. But we made the whole conversation during COVID about how do we keep this virus from spreading. We didn't really know, but we had some ideas, and we were going to do them no matter what. We had theories, and we had experiments we wanted, but we didn't really know. We thought we knew, but we didn't know very much at all when you look back on it. But what did we do? We elevated the doctors, Dr. Fauci. We elevated CAS Public Health. They went to the top of the totem pole of people that should have a voice. And you know what we didn't do? We didn't listen to our pastors. We didn't listen to our social workers. We didn't listen to our mental health counselors, our addiction professionals. We didn't listen to people, basically anybody who disagreed with, we got to shut the world down so we don't all die from COVID. And there were some of us that said from the early points of this, we have to have something to come back to at some point here along the way. So we cannot look at this with just through just one dimension or from one angle. If you tell kids they can't see their friends and make them sit in their room for weeks on end, that's not healthy. It's not healthy for adults. Certainly isn't healthy for children. You tell adults that, hey, you can't be at work. You got to stay home. And at home, you got a bunch of booze. Well, guess what? You have more people with issues. The stress, the mask, the face mask, all that. Nobody was willing to listen or even have the conversation besides a few of us on the right who said, we have to consider the entire picture here. Well, it happens that way in economics as well. And the business sector seems to be the area where we see it. I see it more in my office. I'm kind of the bill payer here at our company. Software, taxes, employee compensation, those things are rising higher than your 2.6s. They just are. And so you see it, I think, on the business side higher, but businesses are getting more efficient. Therefore, they don't have to pass along all of these increases. And the businesses that have pivoted most quickly to technology, automation, things like that, to lower the cost of producing their goods and services are the ones that are doing best. Businesses that are still labor intensive, that haven't been able to pivot as quickly, are the ones that are having a harder time. But I'll tell you that I stand by my statement. Basically, every invoice I see is about 10% higher than it was a year ago for anything where it's, you know, your accounting services, for instance, if you have to hire that to be done, your payroll services, your software systems that you have, your consultants that come in, your if you have to have outside engineering help in our business, for instance, all those things are getting more expensive over time. If you have to buy equipment, specialized equipment, those kind of things is where you get to that more. So the inflation story, as we see it, in today's numbers, showed a seasonally adjusted 0.2% gain for the month, 2.6% on an annualized basis. Both were lower than expectations. And you can go through the different pieces of it and say, okay, well, this was a little better, this was a little worse. Travel and leisure, recreation, entertainment, that number is going up. We're seeing more and more of that. The luxury things, people are still spending money on those fun things. And because of that, you still see some inflation in some of those tickets. And while energy prices rose, gas prices went down. So you've got that. The recreation index surged 1.2% in December. And that's the largest monthly gain ever. So somewhere here in this whole equation, there are people going, the ski hills still seem really busy, and I can attest to that from being out of Big Sky over Christmas. People are still going out to eat. Huh. People are still going to the football games. Huh. People are still going to concerts. Now, there's, you know, different fluctuations here and there on some of these things, but for the most part, the stuff we like to do, we're going to do it, and we're going to cut, or we're just going to be willing to go into debt to do what we want to do. Airline fares also saw a jump of 5.2% during the month. So what's this mean for the Fed? I don't know. People are saying that it's not going to put pressure on the Fed to cut or increase rates. I think that's true. But in the absence of an inflationary problem, we may very well see this job market continue to stretch a little bit. And the Fed say, you know what? I think we can cut a little bit. The market, I guess, they tell me, is still pricing in two rate cuts in 2026. So we'll see. All right, let's bring in John to the conversation. He's giving us a call on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, John.
Yeah, see, just watching this back and forth with the U.S. Supreme Court on the guys and girls sports.
Yes.
And it just makes me wonder, how did we ever get here? So I've thought about this. And as a believer in Christ, talks about when a nation turns their back on God, that God will give them up to a reprobate mind, Romans 1 and maybe some other places as well. Otherwise, I don't know how to make sense of this stuff, how they can go back and forth in almost a really deep intellectual thing going on. And you're like, this is not hard.
Yeah.
God made men and women. He didn't make this, so I'd like to hear your comment on that.
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of that. Thank you, John. We're up against a break, and so we'll take that. I'll give you my thoughts, but then I'm going to ask all of you, too. How do you answer that question? Because you, I'm sure, get asked by people, like, what's the story about that? We'll talk about that next on the Steve Alstrom Show. If you need a new garage door or fast, reliable repairs, OnTrack Garage Door has you covered. They specialize in commercial, residential, and farm shop doors, plus expert spring replacements and door repairs. OnTrack Garage Door is proud to be veteran-friendly and grounded in strong Christian values. Quality hard work, honest service, and a team you can trust. Let them get you on the right track with OnTrack. Call them at 701-793-4246 today. When it comes to the issue of illegal immigration, I'll get to John's question about the transgender debate here in a minute, but I need to get this in for you here first hour. When it comes to the conversation about illegal immigrants being in our country, we need to always remember that where you and I stand on this issue, we haven't changed. I'm going to play for you 90 seconds of a radio address that President Bill Clinton, a Democrat, gave to our country on May 6th of 1995.
Our nation was built by immigrants. People from every region of the world have made lasting and important contributions to our society. We support legal immigration, but we won't tolerate immigration by people whose first act is to break the law as they enter our country. We must continue to do everything we can to strengthen our borders, enforce our laws, and remove illegal aliens from our country. As I said in my State of the Union address, we are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. And it is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years. Now, let me talk a little bit about increasing deportations. Our plan will triple the number of criminal and other deportable aliens deported since 1993. Every day, illegal aliens show up in court who are charged. Some are guilty, and surely some are innocent. Some go to jail, and some don't, but they're all illegal aliens. And whether they're innocent or guilty of the crimes they're charged with in court, they're still here illegally, and they should be sent out of the country. If they're sentenced to jail, they should go to jail, but then after their term's over, they should be removed from the United States. And when there's a plea bargain, I want deportation to be part of the deal. It simply doesn't make any sense for us to have illegal aliens in our custody, in our courts, and then let them go back to living here illegally.
We haven't moved. We haven't moved. Didn't you find yourself nodding along to that whole thing? If you would, if that speech was given today, and I'm sure it could be by many people in the Republican Party, many conservatives, you'd be labeled every name in the book: racist. You hate the black and the brown people. You don't love people. You're a bad Christian. All of that. That was Bill Clinton. But it was Bill Clinton in 1995. Isn't that interesting? Who's changed here? What's changed and why? Why do you think there has been a change? Could it be all about trying to get votes? There's got to be a reason. It ultimately all comes down to money, sooner or later. You can talk about power, influence, whatever, but really, it always comes back to money. That's why the Bible talks a ton about money. Thought I'd play that for you. Speaking of the Bible, John asked, what do you say about the transgender thing? You know, it's tempting with stories like this to try to make it way too complicated. I do that. I'm a thinker. I like to dive into stuff and sort out the pieces. But really, it's pretty simple. And this is where the good book gives you a compass if you're walking that way. And the good book, speaking of things that haven't changed, has been the same for centuries. And that is speak the truth in love. Love people, but respect justice and respect what the plan for life and the plan for sexuality, the plan for people is that God put in the book long, long time ago. So for me, it's really pretty easy. It's not hard to figure out what the real story is. The real story is that God created man and woman, unique parts. You either have internal plumbing or external plumbing, and that defines if you are male or female, and they write it on your birth certificate. Maybe they don't anymore now. We're so weird. But generally speaking, it's pretty simple to figure out if you're a man or a woman. Now, there are people I know, well, what about those that are born with multiple sets of genitals? Okay. Well, that's one out of 80 billion. We're not going to write policy there. We're just going to have that be its own thing. We'll figure that out later. But we're not talking about that here. So I say our job, like the pastor at Hope Church said on Sunday, our job is to love people. Our job is to love people. And we need to love the Somali people. We need to love the Rene Goods. We need to love the Jonathan Rosses. That's our job. God's job is judgment. Now, those that are involved in governing our society have to make rules and laws, and we have to respect all those things. Bible talks about that, too. Give to Caesar what is Caesar. So if you have law enforcement that is put in place by an elected government, that's a legitimate Caesar, if you will. So you got to let them do their thing as well. So I say this. I say be aware of what the truth is, first of all. Love people, be willing to speak the truth where it's at, but your sentence should begin and end with, I'm going to be a lover of people. John, this is my answer. Other people are going to have a much harsher answer. This is the only one I can come up with. So I'm going to love the people at the beginning and the end of the sentence. In the middle, I am going to stand up for law and order and justice and all of that, but that's not, God doesn't ask me to get involved in law enforcement. He asks me to love people. And that's the best I can come up with, and that's the best I'm going to do. How about you? How do you answer that question? Wouldn't mind hearing from you in the second hour of the program. Hour two of the show, The Key Three, coming up next. Hour number two of the Steve Alstrom Show. Can you believe it's hour two already? Where did the first hour go? Feels like I just sat down here. My goodness. But anyway, I digress. Hour number two of the program brought to you in part by Capstone Classical Academy. At Capstone Classical Academy, they believe cultural renewal begins with education, forming wise and virtuous young men and women who love what is true, good, and beautiful. And you can support this effort. Go online right now to givingheartsday.org and search Capstone to make your tax-deductible gift for Giving Hearts Day. Capstone, rigorous academic studies with a Christian worldview. Sounds like a pretty good combination. If you ask me, if you would like to continue the conversation we had in the first hour, John called and said, Steve, what do you say to people about the whole transgender thing and how do we handle this conversation? I just gave him my perspective on this, that I think we love people and that's sort of our job as just good human beings. And if you're a believer, I think that comes out of the good book too. But you also have to, at the same time, two things can be true at the same time. I say that all the time because it's so true. We live in this all-or-nothing society that you can have standards in it as well when you are trying to be someone who loves other people. So I'd love to hear what you think about that. What do you say to people about how do you kind of come up with what's right and wrong on this transgender debate. It's a good conversation. It's actually part of our key three coming up here in a moment. So we'll take your calls about that at 271-1100, the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. A couple of text messages, and this is why I love this audience, because we have so many different perspectives here in this audience. A lot of us see things a certain way, but there are a few that see things a different way. So I like that. I like to have a difference of opinion because it's good to have your ideas tested. Steve, you asked what changed after you played the interview clip from Bill Clinton saying we can't have illegal people here in the country illegally. What's changed is that Trump was elected, and these people will protest anything Trump does, no matter what it is. He could literally cure cancer, and they would still object because it was Trump that did it. It's that simple. They hate him, and there's nothing he can do that's ever going to be right. Here's another perspective. Steve, the difference between Clinton and Trump is that Clinton didn't send masked federal agents going door to door. Is there a problem with illegal immigration? Obviously. There's a better way to do this, though. So two different perspectives there. All right, I can't let that one go without answering it, okay? Clinton didn't send mass federal agents going to door to door. Okay, maybe you should have. We have a, you even said there is a problem with illegal, well, how do you fix a problem? You take strong action. And if you believe that there is a pocket of the neighborhood that I live in that is harboring a bunch of people that are doing something illegal, and you think it's widespread and fairly systemic in that neighborhood, why would you not go door to door? The problem is people, some people, I'm not going to say this person, but a lot of people don't like door to door because it's strong. But that's exactly what we need. We have to be strong at a time like this. I know that it doesn't make for great video on the lead story in the news. I know it seems a little bit messy. It seems a little quote-unquote mean. But again, think of why we have rules about illegal immigration and what has happened during the Biden administration, the human trafficking, the drugs and all that. Is that mean? Yeah, I would think so. So we have to do strong things as countermeasure when we have a problem that's been left unchecked for way too long. And it was at a level of which you could not imagine during the Biden administration. It was literally, I mean, he was flying people into the country to get past the checkpoints. Do we not understand that this was significant? You have to counter strength with strength. That's what they're doing. And what do you think this does to the self-deportation movement? I would think it puts another log or two on the fire, and that's a good thing. So it happens without encounters and tensions and hostilities. So I don't know. I think it's what they have to do right now. And I don't know if they're going door to door. I'm just saying if that happens to be true. All right, 10-11 here. Time for the key three here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. One is a story of who's here and who is not. And I think this is really interesting. The reason I think it's very important of a story is that we just didn't see this happen in the Biden administration. We didn't see secretaries, cabinet members coming to Fargo, coming to North Dakota, but we're seeing them now. The U.S. Secretary of Labor, Lori Chavez de Remer, is in Fargo today as part of her 50 State America at Work tour. She is going to be meeting at I don't know exactly where, but we'll be meeting with people in the city here, learning more about the opportunities and challenges that everyday Americans at work face, according to the Department of Labor. I think that's great. We are no longer flyover country in a Trump administration. Doesn't hurt. We got Doug Burgum working in there, too. J.D. Vance, though, reports Valley News Live, is not scheduled to make an appearance in Harwood. According to false reports, Vance was supposed to be touring the site of the new AI factory near Harwood. There were some protesters that turned out anyway, of course. They don't care. They just want to get out there and jump around and be mad. And I think there's an interesting piece of truth here. A unnamed protester, didn't want to give their name, isn't that something, says, we want to make it known that we do not approve of the administration and the policies at the current time. Everything from Venezuela to the actions of ICE, you name it, the list is long. They're not out there protesting any certain issue. There's not something they want to communicate. There's not something they want to improve or make better. The protester might have just come right out and said, I have Trump derangement syndrome and I didn't know what else to do with it. So I came out here. It's amazing what Donald Trump has done to a large swath of our population. So that's story number one. Story number two, the Supreme Court today considering, as we speak, whether states can ban transgender athletes from taking part in girls and women's school and college sports. The administration has done some things through executive orders, but they are now doing it in the constitutional way, going through the court there. And NBC News reports the story, and here's an interesting little thing that makes me go, that you should pay attention to when you see these stories as well. The story goes, the court, which has a 6-3 conservative majority, will hear oral arguments in separate cases involving two transgender students. Isn't it something that they use that word conservative majority? We never used to hear about the liberal majority or if we have another liberal majority at the time. We'll never hear about that. By the way, Supreme Court justice is not supposed to be conservative or liberal. And the way some of these justices have voted, they're not true conservatives from what I can tell. So that is being talked about today. And John, thank you for calling the show a little earlier to remind us of that. I do think it's very important and we can pray and we can hope that the Supreme Court will restore some order. And this is right, I mean, Minnesota is ground zero for this thing. And that's why I open the show every day with whatever day it is. And the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. We got to put an end to this. Absolutely ridiculous. And finally, mentioned this earlier in the show, but it's just too good not to pass along again. The share of new car buyers, reports Edmunds, the car review website people, share of new car buyers who pay $1,000 or more a month for their auto loans rose to a record 20.3% of all new vehicles financed in the fourth quarter. That's one out of five people who are buying a new car have a payment of $1,000 or more. 6.3% of used car buyers in the fourth quarter have a payment of $1,000 and up. Wow. Banks got to love this, although they got to borrow the money in a lot of cases too. But isn't that something, $1,000 or more? I think my first car payment was like $83. I had a Ford Ranger, 1991 Ford Ranger. Got it when I got out of school. And I took a little loan on the thing. I had a little bit of cash. I think it cost me like $12,000 to buy the little thing. Now, when it was going uphill in the wind, 50-50, if you're going to get there or not, a little four-cylinder, it would whine and screech. Didn't have much under the hood, but, oh, I love that little black Ford Ranger was my first car there. All right, at 10:16, that is what I believe to be, or those are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Andrew, hang on. We'll get you on the other side. Andrew wants to talk about the transgender issue, but I don't want to rush that because we're up against a hard break. That's one of these things we have with this new time slot is we have these hard breaks and got to hit them on time. So we'll do that. We'll come back with Andrew's comments. We're going to hear from our buddy Chris Buckingham at Solve CXO. Plus, the best thing I heard all day. Yeah, I think you're going to like this one. Comes from Joe Suchere, a great purveyor of common sense. That's next on the Steve Alstrom Show. Every week at this time, we get to hook up with our guy, Chris Buckingham at Solve CXO. Chris is the founder and fractional CXO at Solve CXO. And he's good enough to give us some business advice for a quick minute here every week at this time. We do appreciate it. Always learn something from Chris. Hey, my man, how are you doing today?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great. My first car was a 1980 Pontiac Phoenix.
Oh, let's go. A Pontiac Phoenix. Yeah. Nice. How about a little four-cylinder engine under that bad boy, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little hatchback. It was fun to drive
around.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, I had a Chevy Citation. I had a Mustang. I wish I would have been able to just keep all those cars and have them sitting around. They'd be classics. I'd have a garage full of fun cars. I suppose most of us have that story. So, Chris, talk about some business here. A lot of people in the business world have some IT tech support in one form or another. Where do you see the gap, though, being the biggest when it comes to the technology challenges the companies have, even with all those things in place?
Yeah, IT providers really focus on security, uptime, backups, supporting the system so that they stay online. And that work is absolutely critical. So really, you know, business owners often assume that includes strategy, planning, alignment, what softwares they maybe should be using for their business needs. And that's where the gap lies.
Yeah, it's a really great point because you can have all these tools, but is someone weaving them all together and making them work? Secure systems don't always make the right systems, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah, you know, it can be secure and it can still be inefficient. You could be overpaying for something, not using the tool that you need correctly, or they just don't fit the business.
Yeah, so it's not always apparent when you don't have a great technology fit.
No, it's not. And those decisions really shape how work gets done every day. And if you're not strategically intentional about those decisions, it can actually slow the business down and drag it a little bit.
So how does your company, the SolveTech Advisors program, help close that gap then?
Yeah, so we really look at technology from the business side first. What are the business goals and how do those systems support those goals, the workflows? What's the growth plan? And not just the IT requirements today.
Yeah, it's a smart advice. If you want to find out more about how Chris and his team figure all this out and weave it all together and make sure that all the stuff is working well, you might have stuff that you are paying good money that's just not working for you or nowhere near as efficient as it can be. And Chris is great with advice on technology pieces, but also just leading and managing the effort that your company is putting in. Give him a call, 218-549-5454, or go to solvecxo.com, helping business owners turn their vision into action. Chris, the vision to action leader. I love that title at SolveCXO. Thanks for the advice today, Chris.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
Yeah, you do the same. Take care. 1023, let's go back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone lines. Andrew has been hanging on with us for a little while. John asked what's turned into the question of the day to me earlier in the program. Said, Steve, what do you say to people when people are talking about this transgender issue and you're saying it just seems so obvious what the right answer is, but a lot of people are just looking at it how many different ways. So I'm asking all of you today, how do you look at this issue? And what do you say to people when they say, how do you all sort that out? Andrew, what do you think?
Good morning. Nice to talk to you on this beautiful day. So we need wisdom, right? And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let's take it from the biblical perspective like John did. He was right on the money when he quoted Romans, but we can also quote Deuteronomy in the judgments of Israel. We can also quote 2 Thessalonians when it says, it's the spirit of the Lord who actually sends the spirit of confusion to the land because you reap what you sow. And this is a product of the 1960s, 70s sexual revolution and the invention of the birth control devices, pills and everything else. Obviously, let's just leave abortion off to the side here. It's a big part of it because it takes away the consequences of unintended consequences of relations. So what that does is it promotes sexual immorality. And homosexuality, transgenderism is a symptom of sexual immorality from the generations prior. And in America here, since we are judged nations, you know, God judges nations, when we made that stand and then we made the, you know, went all the way to the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, right? And then we had a little good news with the kickback with the overturning of Roe v. Wade later. But it doesn't take away the fact that we are now confused. And
it's a good way of saying
it. It's really, really sad, right? It's really sad because they're actually convinced that they are another gender. And John was right when he asked the question, how did we get here, right?
Yep.
That is how we got
here.
Yeah,
a lot of confusion.
Because we don't fear the consequences of God. And sexual immorality is a real thing. Stop sleeping around. Stop, you know, if you're married, do not cheat. You know, if you're not married, then wait for marriage. Whatever happened to abstinence?
Gotcha. Andrew, I'm going to move along just because we're short on time, but you've made a lot of good points there. Thanks a lot for calling. A lot of good thoughts there. I'll just say to those of you, if you're not wired in the same kind of faith story way that I am, or maybe Andrew is, some of that stuff might exasperate you a little bit. Just know I'm not trying to run a church service here, but the reason I think it's important to bring this in is you have to have a right and a wrong. You have to have some kind of moral code, some kind of a compass, and you're going to have to pick something. And I don't know what else to do. If I go by my wisdom, like, I'm capable of screwing that up a lot. So I've got to have something to go back to and say, this is what I'm going to live and die on. And I'm sorry if you feel like you're really a boy, but you were born a girl and you want to change. I get it. You have a cross to bear that I have a ton of respect and empathy for, but we still have to have a sense of right and wrong. So thanks for that, Andrew. All right. Best thing I heard all day. This is about a minute 22. This is a very interesting question that comes to us from Joe Suchere. Used to be on KSTP Radio in the Twin Cities. He does a podcast now called Garage Logic. An interesting thought experiment here.
Let's do this another way. There is no Trump in the world. Trump doesn't exist. There is no Fry and Walls in the world. There's no Christy Noem. None of these players exist. And now on a Wednesday morning at 34th and Portland in Minneapolis, there is the arrival of some immigration enforcement officials. And a woman in a car is also among them. And she is told to leave the scene. There is no Trump. There is no Noem. There is no Walls. There's just this incident. There's just this thing happening in the United States. And she is told to leave, and it appears to me she's leaving. She's leaving. And she turns her wheels to the right, and she takes off. And a guy who was off her left front headlight, which did not place him in danger because he soon enough was not outside her left front headlight as the car continued to turn to the right. She was not aiming for him. And he shot her three times.
The question is, what would have happened if none of this hyper-politicized environment was out there? Interesting stuff. Be back right after this. All right, it is time for us to enter another person into our big drawing that we've got coming up for a Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime. That's what I'm calling it. Valentine's Day in Vegas. Go to am1100theflag.com, click on the Valentine's Day in Vegas banner, and submit your name to enter. Then listen weekdays, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 4 p.m. for your name. And if you hear your name called at 701-271-1100, within 11 minutes, you are qualified, and you get a spot at the big drawing party on February 3rd for a chance to win. The winner gets round-trip airfare for two from Fargo to Las Vegas, a three-night hotel stay, two tickets to the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on February 14th, and $500 spending cash. Thanks to our sponsors, All Sauger Meats, Kingpins, and Frontier Airlines. All right. And our qualifier today is Jeff Blake of Moorhead. Jeff Blake of Moorhead. Jeff, if you're listening, give us a call, 701-271-1100. And you've got 11 minutes. So 10:44 is the cutoff time on this one. And we hope that you are able to join us on February 3rd with a big chance to win. If you know Jeff and you want to do a buddy a solid, give him a call and say, hey, give a call and get yourself in that drawing. We are thankful on the Steve Holsham Show when we did it in the afternoons, and now that we're doing it in the mornings, that so many of our elected officials are kind enough to take some time with us here and there, and especially Julie Fedorchik, our next guest, she is willing to give us a half hour of her time once a month to talk about what's happening in D.C. and how it affects us here in the upper Midwest and certainly in North Dakota, where she is serving the constituents of. And we're always thankful for her time. It's good to hear from her with the perspective that she's got on what's going on. Julie, good morning to you. I'm still trying to. Oh, we don't have Julie yet. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought she was on the line with us here. So, all right. Well, we will we'll attempt to connect with Julie here in just a moment. But hey, this is great because I can go back and take care of some things that I had wanted to do that I was like, how am I going to fit all this in to the show here today? So I do want to pass along an interesting story I saw that talks a little bit about the opposition on Capitol Hill to the Powell investigation. I don't know many people in Congress or on the conservative side who feel like Jerome Powell has done a great job. But is he a criminal? And has he gotten involved with criminal activity, either in this building project or his positions on interest rates? The president has been a very vocal critic, loud and outspoken, about Powell and that he has completely butchered the job. There is a criminal investigation now going on into the Federal Reserve and to Chairman Powell. But I'm reading from NBC News that bipartisan opposition is growing louder on Capitol Hill. Powell came out over the weekend. He was the one that announced it, I believe, as saying the Justice Department has launched a criminal probe into his handling of renovations of the Central Bank headquarters. There are two voices on this that made me sit up and take notice. One of them is John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, who sits on the banking committee. He warned that further conflict between the Fed and the White House could cause economic turmoil. He said, quote, I know Chairman Powell very well. I'll be stunned, shocked if he's done anything wrong. If you wanted to design a system to guarantee that interest rates would go up and not down, the best way to do that would be to have the Federal Reserve and the executive branch of the United States get in a pissing contest. We need this like we need a hole in the head. Kevin Cramer also quoted in this story saying that Jerome Powell is a bad Fed chair who's been elusive with Congress, especially regarding the overruns of the elaborate renovations of the building. I do not believe, however, he is a criminal, and I hope this can be put to rest quickly, this investigation. So thought that was interesting. I don't often hear John Kennedy and Kevin Cramer criticizing the administration. But, and I think they chose their words carefully here, but make no mistake, this is what we have here, and I thought that was interesting. With that, we bring on the Congresswoman for North Dakota, Julie Fedorchuk, always kind enough to give us a few minutes. Julie, good morning. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. Sorry about that. I had it on mute.
Oh, no problem.
I am doing great today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you making time. Thank you for working this out, even though we're switching times during the day. It's great to have your perspective on things. I guess I'll start with the story we were talking about. Your colleague in the Senate, Kevin Cramer, has said, look, I'm no fan of Jerome Powell, but I don't think he's a criminal, and hopefully this criminal investigation can be put to rest quickly. We need to restore confidence in the Fed. How do you see this story?
Well, to be perfectly honest, Steve, it's not something I'm really following or engaging in a whole lot. There's so many things happening right now and so many balls in the air that I'm working on that this one, I agree with Kevin. I think, like, let's put this to bed. There's been a lot of talk about Jerome Powell, and there's a process in place for him, you know, being renewed or not renewed and replaced, and let's just follow that and move on.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. I know that for the president, this almost feels personal because part of his agenda is to get Americans buying and getting the economy moving again. And so it's been a frustration for him as well. I don't have a strong opinion on this one as well. I would agree that Powell has not been effective in his position. When it comes to renovations of a building, it takes a lot to prove there's criminal conduct going on there. We'll wait to see how that all plays out. Speaking of President Trump, he has mobilized many representatives, enforcement agents, whatever you want to call it, an ICE community to be in Minnesota. And it certainly seems with everything that's been going on in Minnesota, it certainly looks to be a dark corner that needs to be investigated. Do you stand behind the president's approach in Minnesota with the increased ICE enforcement that's going on in Minneapolis and now spreading around the state?
Well, Steve, first of all, I want to just start by saying I think it's tragic how those events unfolded. And anytime somebody's life is lost unnecessarily, I think that's tragic. that Ms. Good should not have been obstructing law enforcement. I've watched, you know, many of the different videos from a variety of different angles, including one that goes back, you know, because I was, when I first saw it, just, you know, obviously very alarmed, and then looked for, like, but there's no context here. What was going on before all of this happened? We saw 15 seconds. And so I've seen, you know, some of the video that shows her laying on the horn for, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds at a time. And I just think, like, gosh, standing out there trying to do your job, how agitated that would make you. And that's just, you know, the car was clearly parked across the street, you know, blocking law enforcement. So there was a lot of actions taken by her, too, to obstruct law enforcement. And so I'm in full support of the investigation into this matter to see, you know, if there's any blame to be held by the officer for acting with too strong of lethal, or acting with lethal force. You know, I'm in full support of that, and look forward to the results of that investigation. As it relates to the president's larger actions in Minnesota and bringing in, you know, more ICE agents to deal with this issue, I just keep going back to the problem that we inherited from the Biden administration with the completely open borders and the flooding of our country with all kinds of illegal immigrants from all over the world, many of whom did not have good intentions for our country. Don't share our values. He inherited a mess, and Americans elected him to fix that. And that's what he's doing. I mean, I hope that they act in the most reserved manner necessary to take care of the job. I don't think they need to use excessive force. I hope they don't. But when they're attacked and when they're their work is being obstructed by agitators and protesters, then you're going to see, you know, law enforcement protecting themselves too. And so I think everyone needs to take a step back. I think we need to support the president in doing the job that he was elected to do, to create some sense in our immigration system, and to help root out folks who don't want what's best for our communities and make our communities safe or unsafe. And move on from there. We also do need to pursue, and I was very excited to see the president calling for comprehensive immigration reform and lending his support to some measures there, because I think ultimately that's how we create order here, is we create laws that help us deal with the people who are here, those who are here wanting to work, came here illegally. Where do we go? How do we work through this in an orderly way that keeps everybody safe and helps us address the many needs of our immigration policy?
Have you come to a point, Julie, where you are taking a position on the officer's actions and saying, I stand behind that officer, the officer was justified, or I think the officer acted irresponsibly and there should be some sort of repercussions there? Have you come to the point where you've made a decision how you look at this yet?
I am not. And I think it would be irresponsible too without an investigation.
Yeah. So let the investigation play out.
I'm supporting that investigation. Yeah. And let that play out. And that's part of the problem, is we have all these folks who are looking at, you know, sitting as social media warriors, making judgments on a case based on 15 to 20 second blurry videos with no context. We need that context.
Well, and you mentioned the noise level that is being brought to these situations. How irritating would that be to be trying to do the work that you have and you know, cowbells and horns and all of that. It never ends with the outright harassment for these people. And I don't know how they do their jobs and not have more situations where there is, you know, somebody overreacting. It's a very, very difficult job they have. When we come back, Julie has introduced some legislation on stock trading, and we're going to talk to her about that coming up here next on the Steve Holcim Show. Don't go away. Well, we did not have a winner today. We did not get a call today from Jeff Blake of Moorhead. And so if you're a friend of Jeff's, you might have to take a look in the mirror for not getting a hold of Jeff. No, it's not your fault. But Jeff missed his opportunity. Don't miss yours. Make sure you get signed up and then be listening for three times a day when we do this. Want to say thank you to All Sauger Meats for being our sponsor for the Valentine's Day trip to Vegas. AllSaugerMeats.com, from pasture to plate, the best foods. And now they have some pizzas as well. Carnivore all-meat pizza, a creamy chicken Alfredo, pepperoni classic, and signature supreme. Sounds pretty good. We're getting close to lunchtime. Very good. And Veterans Location Fargo will be celebrating its two-year anniversary. Keep up to date. Check out the Facebook and Instagram. They'll be having some great deals going on there. Four locations, two of them in the metro, and then in Breckenridge and Audubon as well, thanks to All Sauger Meats. We're continuing our conversation with Congresswoman Julie Fedorchik today. And Julie has been a co-introducer, I guess is maybe how you might say it, legislation to ban congressional stock trading. Julie, tell us about this.
Well, thank you, Steve. You know, this is one of the issues that I hear from constituents fairly regularly asking about this, because there's been so many high-profile cases of members who have made a lot of money once they became members of the House, Nancy Pelosi being kind of the poster child for that. And so I think this is very common sense legislation. It basically just says that any member of Congress can't trade stocks. You can, if you are become a member and you have stocks in your portfolio, individual stocks, you can keep them. If you sell them, you have to give a 7-day notice. And so it really just kind of creates transparency. And it also will create some penalties for folks who break it. And the overall goal is to restore public trust and help people have confidence that when you're being elected to Congress, you're not going there to get rich. You're going there to serve the public. And anything we can do to help reinforce that in the minds of our constituents and our voters really will help to build back the public trust that we desperately need to have for our elected leaders.
Well, there's no doubt. We've heard these stories, and I don't know what's true, right? You hear so many things, but you hear that Nancy Pelosi is worth $100 million, or, you know, different politicians have gotten to be, you know, rich people by serving the country. And I'm one of those people that says, hey, look, if you you take your personal brand to Washington, D.C., and you get known to people and they want to have you come and speak, and you get to make, you know, $50,000 for a speech, I don't have a problem with that. But when it look, I mean, these things just look fishy, Julie, when you got people right. that are coming, they're going in poor people and coming out rich people. It just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't wash with the public. And, you know, that example of your speaker's fee, that's actually something we're prohibited from doing. We can't get paid to speak anywhere, and nor should we be able to. I mean, I'm here representing North Dakota, and that is not a role that should earn me extra money outside on speaking circuit. Now, when I leave and go and create my own career after the fact, then, you know, that's a totally different story. But while you're in office, you can't command speaker's fees like that.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me, too. I'm just trying to say, like, there's certain things that if your star rises and you're able to, make something of that as time goes on in some way that's more incidental, that's fine. But when you're talking about trading stocks, because you know what issues are on the table and what Congress is going to be, you know, voting on, that one to me is just it's a little too sneaky. I want to ask you about the president has come out with an idea, and the president will do this from time to time. He'll kind of float something out there, and it doesn't always happen. But his comment about we should limit banks to being able to only charge 10% interest on credit cards. I looked at that one. I said, I don't like the government getting involved in private sector business anyway. And I think it would actually hurt a lot of people that the idea is purported to help. And I know there's been some legislation that has gone through Congress. I think in the Senate especially, has legislation on capping credit card rates come up. And how do you feel about that idea altogether?
Well, it is an issue that's that it, the Finance Committee is looking at. I'm not on the Finance Committee, but I'm really good friends with French Hill, who chairs the Finance Committee, and I have a lot of respect for him and his opinions of these, so he's very thoughtful. And it really comes down to a couple things. It's a balance. You know, when you start restricting what interest folks can charge on credit cards and other lending devices, then you're going to impact the type of people who can get the loans and can get access to credit. And so it's a balancing act there. We want to make sure folks aren't, you know, being aggressive lenders and that sort of thing. But I think there's a few different bills coming through the committee. They also have impacts on our banks in North Dakota. I've heard from our small independent community banks, and they have some big concerns over some of these bills. So I take all that into consideration when making my ultimate determination on a bill.
Good stuff. Got to leave it there. Julie, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. Thanks for sharing a few minutes with us. All the best, and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Take care, friends. Have a great day. Keep on flying that flag.